Well, looks like it's going on 10 o'clock here. So, ladies, I hear Amy making her little sound to welcome us to Connecting Point. This is Harvest Christian Church, and this is Connecting Point, our women's ministry. This is not how we usually do it, of course, but this is how we're going to do it right now, and we're going to be connected, ladies. I don't know if you got the little reminder post, but I want you to have your Bibles ready, open to Isaiah 40. I want you to have notepaper and pencil or pen to write down things. And I'm going to ask a few questions. You know, that's part of Connecting Point. We ask questions because we don't hear a message unless we're intent on pondering it. We're intent on receiving something from it. And I know you're ready to receive. I know the Lord is ready to pour out in our lives and bring forth something today. So have your paper ready. But I also want you to write comments on Facebook. Before you write comments, put the letter CP. So we know this is for Connecting Point, but don't just like amen, even though I like amens if I could hear you. But I want you to write 1 to 4 sentences on what you're hearing Holy Spirit say, what you're receiving. Because if we were sitting around our table as we usually do at Connecting Point, ladies, we'd be connecting. And so let's connect. I don't want just my voice going forth. I want what Holy Spirit's saying through you. So speak it out, okay? Bring it forth. Now, it says in the Word, I have a number of scriptures for you here, but it says in Psalm 29, 10 and 11, yes, the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. We are confident about that. The Lord is declaring, this is what I do. I give strength to my people. Psalm 84, 5 through 7 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. They go from strength to strength. Whatever strength you had yesterday from the Lord, it's increasing today. It's increasing. The Passion Translation says they grow stronger and stronger with each step forward. So we're moving forward. This is a day of moving forward, and we are. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, the steadfast of mind, Lord, you keep in perfect peace because that one trusts in you. It's about our trust in Him. It goes on to say, trust in the Lord forever, like always, every day, forever. For this reason, in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Do you know how secure a rock can be? Things are shaken, but we're secure. We are finding that we are undisturbed, that we have perfect peace, that we have wholeness, health, completeness, quietness of our soul, our mind. Our peace is not based on the conditions going on in the world. Our peace is coming from Him. Our strength is coming from Him. We are walking in His government. We're walking under His rule and reign, and that's why we have peace. Psalm 68 says, awesome is God from His sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to His people. My first question to you, what can you say about yourselves? What do you know about yourself when you know He is the one who gives power and strength to whom? To His people, to those of us who are abiding in Him. He's giving forth His power and strength to us. Now let's read what I asked you to keep your Bibles to. We're going to read Isaiah 40. I'm going to start with verse 28. And this is, I'm reading it from the ESV, so your translation may be a little different than that. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth fall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It begins with a question. And in Connecting Point, we're used to questions. It begins with a question. God is saying, Have you not known? Have you not heard? What do we know? This is a time where God is saying, revisit what you know, rehearse what you know, embrace what you know. So what do we know? And it says then, have you not heard? What have you heard from his word? What have you heard from his spirit? What are you hearing from the gifts in the body of Christ that are ministering to us in this day? What do you hear? What testimonies do we hear? And the question for us is, what are we believing? And what are we saying? What are we saying inside? What are we saying verbally because of what we know? It is a very significant time to hear and to know what the truth. It's essential. You know, Mark 4, 24 and 25 in the Passion Translation says, then Jesus said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to the depth of your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. So we need to consider what we hear and how we hear. What are we listening to? What are we giving heed to? What is impacting and influencing our daily living and speaking? And then it's questions, how? How are we hearing? Is it with full attentiveness? Are we multitasking? I heard a message recently by Bobby Connor, and in it he said, you know, God doesn't really like multitasking. Well, we're supposed to be listening. And I thought, how often am I listening as I'm going about doing things? And how often do I settle myself in a very still place and listen closely? And so God says, how are you listening? In the Passion Translation in Luke 8, verse 10 says, you've been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they're blind to the true meaning of what I say. Even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Verse 18, so pay attention, careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. For those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away from them. Jesus told them in verse 21, those who come to listen to me are like my mothers and brothers. They're the ones who long to hear and put God's word into practice. So our spiritual hearing determines what we have and what we have to give to others. And we want something to give to others right now. We can't give out of, what we haven't taken in. So we receive and then we share. He filled us with light and he made us to be light to others. So who are you sharing your light with? How are you sharing it with? Okay, it goes on in Isaiah 40 and says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. How secure does that make you feel? Wow, how secure does that make me feel to know he does not grow faint or weary? God is always fully engaged in his purposes. God is always fully aware. He's the one that we look to and are secure in. When I was reading this, I remembered a number of years ago when my girls were teenagers and we were sitting in the family room of our house and we were just, you know, what you do in a family room, just being comfortable as a family. And all of a sudden, I screamed. I screamed because I saw a little mouse scurry across the floor and it so startled me that I screamed. Well, we took care of that situation. But later on, one of my daughters shared with me, Mom, you have no idea how much that unsettled me to hear you scream. Mom, I've never heard you get unsettled about something. I've never heard you get upset about something. I've never heard you respond like that. When you screamed, I felt like my world was just coming apart. Just a simple scream from you, Mom. And I thought, wow, I'm glad that's not the case we're in. I'm glad we know God is not undone by anything that's taking place. He is certainly well aware of what's taking place. So let's have security to know He does not faint and He does not become weary. It goes on in Isaiah 40 to say, He gives power to the faint, and to him has no might, He increases strength. Two definitely important concepts here. He does not get weary. He does not faint. But he, the one who doesn't get weary, gives strength to those who do faint. To those who have no strength, he increases strength. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, Paul shares with us. He shares with us that while he was going through something very challenging, God spoke to him, and God said this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness." Most gladly then, Paul responded, most gladly then, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness. In other words, I don't struggle with my own weakness. I'm content. I'm restful in my own weakness because I know that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I also want to read this one in the Passion Translation. God says, "My grace is always, always more than enough for you." It means it's continually sufficient. Not just for the moment it's sufficient, it's continually. That term continually sufficient is resident in what he says. My grace is always sufficient for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. The verse goes on in the Passion. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of God living in me. I know it's there. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but I'm delighted. For when I feel my weakness, when I endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side, face persecution because of my love for Christ, whatever, I'm made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. So just think of that. Where I'm weak is the opening for God to come in. Now, if I'm strong in myself, it's blocking that. It's like a closed door. God, I got this. God, I don't need what you're pouring forth. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to walk this out on my own. I'm going to use my own reasoning. I'm going to use what I know by experience. I'm going to listen to other sources and accumulate everything I need, and I'm going to move forward. So it's just like closed door. But no, when I acknowledge, God, this is all beyond me. I don't know what to say, how to think, how to move, how to act in any of those situations. It becomes an open portal, the word says, to God's power. So, like Paul says, I'm content then. I'm content that I don't have it in me because I have it in him. So I'm content. You know, the verse goes on to say, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Even, he brings this up to say, even the ones who normally would think, well, I got it. I'm young. Hasn't it been tested in this coronavirus when they first started saying, well, the youth, the young people, the young adults, it's not going to be an issue for them. Even if the illness itself doesn't prove to be much of an issue, certainly all the circumstances and all the challenges around it have proved to be. Even youth, the word says, can become weary. Even those can, but God does not. So that says to me, there's no condemnation. You and I don't have to feel condemnation because we feel this weakness or weariness, but there's condemnation or there's conviction anyways to remain there. Don't remain in ever in a state of weariness. Don't remain in a state of fainting, failing, anything like that. Because why? Right away, draw on what he's offering us. Draw on that and pull on that. So don't remain in that place. We have Jesus' example. What do we have as we're reading through what he progresses through in this week leading up to his major work of crucifixion and ascension? Luke 22:41-44, it says, Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then it said, now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. His disciples weren't much, didn't contribute much to what he needed at that time. But it says, angels were sent from heaven to strengthen him. Jesus must have needed strength. Why did he need strength? He needed strength to fulfill his destiny, to fulfill what he was called to do, to fulfill what he's purposed to do. Why do you need strength? You know, you might think, well, I need strength because today I'm going to do my spring cleaning and I need to move some heavy furniture. That's not the kind of strength we're talking about. I need strength to get out and do some things in the yard. Or, well, what kind of strength can you think of in the natural? You know, this isn't the strength to push a car out of the ditch or carry heavy loads, heavy boxes. This isn't it. What is the strength that he's giving us? He's giving us the strength to walk out the life that he's put us in, to walk out this season, this time, to walk in wisdom. He's given us the strength to be patient with those that try our patience. He's giving us the strength to love those that are challenging to love. He gives us the strength. What kind of strength do we need? We need the strength to be as he is in this world. We need the strength for the Christ that's been formed in us to be manifest through us. That's what we need strength for. We need strength to be bold, to speak what we know and what we've learned. We need that in this day. We need that kind of strength. So that's what he's pouring forth. That's what he poured forth. I have to pick up my notes. I just dropped them on the floor. Excuse me. This is all new. I need strength for this. In Matthew 4:11, after Jesus had been led by the Spirit in the wilderness, went through his wilderness experience, was fasting, had been challenged about his identity, his purpose, his devotion and full commitment to the Lord, had been challenged in all those ways, that weakened him, that caused him to be weary. But it says in Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. In the translations, as you read it, they began to pour strength into his being, pour that what he needed into him. That's what's happening right now because we're yielded to the Lord and he's pouring forth. So let's remember that even the youth could become faint, weary, and young men could be exhausted, God is doing something. So it goes on in Isaiah 40 to say, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They who wait for the Lord will have their strength poured in. They will gain new strength. See, Jesus had strength. He used it in serving his purposes. Then he needed a fresh infusion of strength. Or as he walked out and realized, this place, this path that I'm on now requires an even greater measure of the power and strength of God. And it was ministered to him. Same with you and I. But it says, as you wait upon the Lord, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? It means to be expectant towards the Lord, to put our confidence towards Him, to be able to say, Lord, I know you're going to do it. I know you are doing it. Hey, that's key. I know you are doing it. You're doing it now. You're pouring forth. I'm an open portal for you to infuse me, to give me all that I need. To wait definitely does not imply disengagement. To wait, as the terminology is here, and certainly we can understand as we follow it through, to wait means to have a very set focus. That's what this consecration is all about. That's why God said, starting the 1st of March, to do 40 days of consecration. It was a time to say, set your focus on me. Set yourself on me. Set. Just like, you know, I could set my watch and say, what is the exact time? I set it by what the Lord's timing. I say, Lord, okay, let's synchronize our watches. Let's synchronize my soul. Let's synchronize my thinking. I want to be synchronized to you. So I'm going to set myself in what you're saying and what you're doing. And so that requires an action. That requires an attitude. That requires prayer. That requires worship. That requires faith. That requires meditation. That requires a commitment to glorify Him, to be found in Him. That requires choosing joy, choosing peace. That requires knowing His word. I wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Psalm 25:3, the Lord gives us a promise. Those who wait for you, those who wait for you will not be ashamed. In other words, we'll not find ourselves faltering and weak. We'll not be dismayed about what comes forth from our life. We're not going to be ashamed because we wait upon Him. Psalm 25, going on in verses 4 and 5, says, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day and all the night. Psalm 27, 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. My question to you is, how do you wait for the Lord? How are you waiting on Him every day? Where's the evidence? I'm waiting on you. In other words, I'm focused on you. I've set myself. When I get myself busy and doing different things, when I get a little bit off, I recalibrate quickly and set myself to wait on you. And then what does it say? They shall be renewed. They shall flourish again. There's restoration and increase. It's really kind of, there was a word that as I looked for definitions on this place, they show renew. There's a word called numerousness. I thought, that's a word I've never heard before. Numerousness. It implies great increase of amount. So for those that wait upon the Lord, you read that verse again. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a great increase. It becomes much more numerousness comes into you. Use that right. It's a powerful word. And it means to replace what's either broken or worn out or used up. But bring it and make it even better than before. It implies better than before. We go from strength to strength, and each increasing strength is even better than before. You'll be surprised. Today, tomorrow, in the weeks ahead, what you have become because you let Him fill you with His strength. What does it say? What does God say? They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll mount up. They'll ascend. We are going higher. We are going to a high place in Him. We are going higher and higher and higher in Him. We are lifting up our eyes as the Word commands. We're lifting up our souls and we're looking and focusing on Him. We're seeing what is taking place in the heavenly realm and we're saying, let that be so on the earth. But this also implies like the way an eagle molts, it loses its feathers. Do you know that numerous times in its life, an eagle loses its feathers? And each time when he loses it and then gains it again, he mounts up. In other words, he increases in strength and he even is restored in his old age. I like that. I for someone who just had a birthday and reached what I consider, ooh, this is like old age. I like to know that like an eagle, I can have restored strength. And you know, the one way that the eagle does this when he's molting, then all of a sudden he goes from a high place and crashes down with a speed, he goes and dives into the water and it cleans off all that was old. And then as he comes up, then he begins the process of being fully renewed with all fresh feathers. And so this time is also a time. That's what consecration is. We dive into the water of the Word. Let it wash us from everything that's old, everything that's past, everything that's done away. And we rise up and we rise up like the eagle now, new and fresh. Yes. And then we move forward. You know, the Word that says Philippians 4:13-14, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, through Him who renews my strength day to day. I can do it. I can do it. I do everything through Him, not I can do it, but I can do everything through Him because He strengthens me. In my Barnes notes, it says, those who trust in God will be vigorous, elevated, unweary, because He sustains and upholds them, that they will never, never faint. We will never fail. You know, before, as I close, I want to read to you from my Passion Translation. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians, a passage in 2 Corinthians 1. Okay. And I want to read this to it. But it's talking about the God of comfort. But I'm going to change the word comfort as I read and make it strength, because that's what we're defining. But you know, comfort is about strength. If you go to the pure definition of comfort, it means like being brought into a fort, comfort fort. You're surrounded with strength. You're made in a secure place. You're lifted up into a whole place. So I'm going to change it. And I feel like it's legitimate. I don't feel like I'm stretching truth when I say this. And go forth in there. Let me see where I'm going to start. Okay, I'll start with verse 3 of 1 Corinthians. Okay, hear this, ladies. Hear this and take it in. God speaking to us. All praises belong to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless strength. He always comes alongside us to strengthen us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same strength that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of God, of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's strength will cascade upon us through our union with Christ, the key. If troubles weigh us down, that just means that we receive even more strength to pass on to you for your deliverance. For the strength pouring into us empowers us to bring strength to you. And with this strength upholding you, you can endure victoriously the same suffering that we experience. Now our hope for you is unshakable, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you will share in God's comforting strength. Brothers and sisters, you need to know about the severe trials we experienced while we were in Western Turkey. All of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. We were so completely overwhelmed, we were about to give up entirely. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts. We still feel it to this day, but it taught us to lose faith in ourselves and to place all of our trust in God who raises the dead. He has rescued us from these terrifying encounters with death. Now we fasten our hopes on Him to continue to deliver us from death yet again as you labor together with us through your prayers. Oh, because there are so many interceding for us, for our deliverance, and that'll cause even more people to give thanks to God. What a gracious gift of mercy surrounds us because of your prayers. It says, God says, we're part of it. We're our praying and our walking through things, our receiving His cause from Him causes us to affect others. So we rejoice in saying with complete honesty and a clear conscience that God has empowered us to conduct ourselves in a holy manner. God's marvelous grace enables us to minister forth. And so His grace is surrounding us. And isn't that how it ends in a sense with us? Let me find my notes here. It says that in Isaiah 40, it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're going to mount up. We're going to run and we're going to walk and not faint. We're going to move through our life every single day of our life in a place of strength because of God. And because we do that, your life is not lived in isolation. Well, you might be physically separated from people and keeping a social, not really social, but physical distance from people. But your life is not in isolation today, and it's not going to be. And because you have received what He imparts to you, you now bring it forth and give it to others. So I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that not only are we infused with your life in us, which means the one who doesn't faint, who doesn't become weary, abides in us in His power and strength. That's you, Lord. We abide in you and you abide in us. And that has effect on us personally, but has an effect on how we're walking through our lives in whatever place we're going, however we're speaking. Maybe right now we're only speaking through Facebook or Zoom or a video calls, whatever way, Lord, something is transpiring because you poured out your comfort and strength in us. We now carry that continuous supply, and it pours forth. It pours forth to many because this is a day. This is a day of great revival. This is a day when many are saying, how can you be strong? And we can say, we know the source of strength. And we can share that strength with others, pray for others. It's a day to let your voice connect to others and share. Because what do you know? What have you heard? We've heard this. And so now we carry this truth in us that we are fully, fully equipped by Him to live the life that He gives us to live each and every day. So I declare to you success, success, success today and tomorrow, everything, success to you and to those who help you, those around you, because the Lord God helps you. He's with you. Ladies, I look forward to when we have connecting point, when we actually are present with one another around our tables, enjoying a meal together. We invite you, ladies. We don't know if we'll start again in May. Doesn't kind of look like that, but the first Saturday of the month, then we'll connect this way if we need to. But I encourage you, connect with the ladies that you know through our connecting point. Connect with them. Share from the deposit. Make a draw and share it. Make a draw and share it. Don't share out of yourself, share out of the Christ in you. Have a great day, ladies. I love you so much. Be blessed.